1 to 3, Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I thought somebody would say amen. And make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. May I prophesy into your life that God will make you a channel of blessing in the name of Jesus. We've been, our prophetic focus for this month has been leaping forward. Amen? And by the special grace of God, there will be no backwardness for you. God will continue to take you higher. Amen. Every step that you take in your life shall advance your destiny forward in the name of Jesus. There is no one that can reverse the course of a river. Nobody will be able to reverse your progress in the name of Jesus. And so one thing that we see also is that leaping facilitates repositioning. Amen. And so today we are looking at divine repositioning. When you take, for instance, the man that was born lame in Acts chapter 3, you find that his story was that before the anointing for leaping located him, he was carried and he was positioned outside of the temple. Amen. But after he had an encounter, that miraculous encounter, his life was repositioned. Amen. He now walked, he stood, he walked, he leaped, and he entered the temple. His position was outside before, and then up, and then he was repositioned to inside of the temple. And you find that the circumstances of his birth had placed him in a particular position. But God repositioned him. And it is not uncommon also that some of us might find ourselves in certain positions today because of the home we were born in, because of the parents we were born, to, because of the country that we came from, because of so many, circumstances of our lives. But I have good news for you today, that the one that repositioned, the man that was lame from his mother's womb is still on the throne. And he's able to reposition us also. And he will reposition you in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever adverse circumstances had been controlling your life, hitherto, by the mercy of God, God will reposition you. It will turn around the situation in the name of Jesus. And then so you find that repositioning can be positive, as was the case with the lame man in Acts chapter 3. But we must be mindful that repositioning can also be negative. Amen? The idiom jumping from fry pan to fire, comes to mind. Because the fish that jumped out of the fry pan and lands into the fire has changed position, but it's not for good. Amen? And there can be self-repositioning. And there can also be evil repositioning. Sometimes we just take stock of our lives. And based on certain information that we have, we might decide to self-reposition ourselves. Amen? You might decide to self-reposition yourself into a new career. You might decide to self-reposition yourself into a different geographical area. You might, some people even decide to self-reposition yourself out of their marriage into another home. Amen? But there are times when self-repositioning leads to, you know, very negative consequences. But evil repositioning is usually prompted by listening to Satan's counsel. And the consequence is always negative. It is never positive. Amen? And that is why a believer must have a sound knowledge of God through his words so as to escape the snare of the devil. Because the devil will come in a subtlety trying to make you do contrary. You remember the story of Adam and Eve? The devil did not come to them and say, "Oh, Adam, go and sin. Go and do contrary to the will of God." He came and he said, "Did God say?" And then Adam said, and he will raise, you know, curiosity in you. "Did God say? Does the Bible say that you shouldn't drink?" And then he will come back and say, "Oh, all he says is that you just have little, as long as you don't get drunk. Does it say you shouldn't, you know, do this?" They say, "No, you can have as many wives as you want as long as you are caring for each of them." They say, "Because a man that cannot provide for his home is worse than an infidel. But if you are providing for them, you are fine." And so he will say, "Did God say?" And so he will raise these issues. And so if you are not, you know, if you are not sound in the knowledge of who God is and how God operates, you might fall into the snare of the devil. The Bible says that, God said in the Bible, the children of Israel, they knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. He said Moses knew the ways of God. And so it is important that we understand that we know the ways of God. And that's why it's important that we avail ourselves of every opportunity to know more about God. Whether in our own, you know, private, you know, Bible study, our quiet time in our house, or whether it is, you know, Bible study in the church, you know, we were talking about it when we had a Digging Deep last Tuesday, and it's kind of concerning that a lot of people don't come for Bible study. We don't come for, you know, and this is how you fortify yourself. It is not when the devil comes and says, "Did God say?" that you will now go and look for you say, "Give me 1 minute, let me get back to you." Amen? You won't have that chance. God forbid. So it is time like that you need to fortify yourself to build yourself up. The Bible says that if your strength fails in the day of adversity, it is an evidence that you had little strength. So you must fortify yourself. You must not understand God so that you will not, you know, be a victim of the snare, you know, of the fowler. God will not allow you to be a victim in the name of Jesus. So Adam and Eve, they listened to Satan's counsel. And because of that, they experienced a negative repositioning. When God created the garden, the Bible said God placed Adam. He placed him in the garden and he said, "Keep it, you know, enjoy everything, you know, that there was there, and God will come down in the cool of the evening and he will have fellowship with them." And then they lost all that. They went from possession to dispossession. They went from glory to shame. Because the moment they listened, that was when the Bible says Adam knew that and he saw that they were naked. So they went from glory to shame. And then they went from pleasure to hardship. Because God said, "From now on, you are going to, out of the sweat of your brow, will you feed from this land." So they went from pleasure to hardship. And that is why there may be some that are either presently self-positioned or evil positioned today. And you need to lift up your voice and cry to the Lord that in this journey of 2016, in any way that my destiny has been altered, Father, correct it by your power. Correct it. Because you must not continue, you know, along in the wrong position for your life. And then there is divine repositioning, which is what we're talking about. Divine repositioning. This repositioning is guided by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Divine repositioning is always positive, and it brings glory and honor to God. Anytime there is divine repositioning, there will be clear evidence of wrong positioning. Amen. When God called, you know, Abraham in that Genesis chapter 12 that we read, God told him, I want you to leave here. I'm removing you from here, and I'm going to position you somewhere else. The God does not, you know, means what. He doesn't muddle things up in a way that you don't know where you are coming or where you are going. Amen. So God and divine position is always initiated with a goal and place in God's mind, because our God is a God of purpose. God will not, you know, wake you up. He will not just wake you and say, you know, my son, this is what I want to do, but I'm yet to figure it out. See, before the sun sets today, I will come back to you. And God doesn't operate like that, because he knows the end from the beginning. And so when he called, you know, Abraham, he said, Abraham, you know, I see your situation. You need to be repositioned. You are moving from Haran, and I'm taking you to Canaan. And he said, the purpose is that I am going to bless you, and I am going to make you a blessing. Amen. And so Abraham experienced divine repositioning. And because God has ordained for you this year a destination of wholeness, you will experience divine repositioning. I say you will experience divine repositioning. And so you find that even though God did not tell Abraham a lot of details about the journey to Canaan, nor give him any in-between instructions, Abraham did not delay. He responded immediately. He took immediate action, because he knew that that was the opportunity of a lifetime that he had. And he knew that if it is God that initiated it, you know, everything was going to work together, you know, for his good. Amen. And so who is a candidate for divine repositioning? Those who are under affliction. Affliction that has defied solution are a candidate for divine repositioning. So is there an affliction in your life today? I have good news for you. God is ready to deal with it. And is going to reposition you from that situation. Those who are living in fear of their environment, they are also a candidate for repositioning. We know the story of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was repositioned from the house of Machir in Lodibah to the king's palace in Jerusalem. He was living in fear. He was hiding away somewhere. But it came a time that God, you know, looked for him. And God said, Mephibosheth, I am moving you from Lodibah. I am moving you from the place where you have been forgotten. And I am bringing you into the renown. I'm bringing you to the king's palace. Amen. And perhaps there's someone in their Lodibah experience today. God will take you out of that place, and he will position you where the glory of God will overshadow you in the name of Jesus. And those who are not serving God because of their current position are also a candidate for repositioning. You find yourself, you know, you are, and that is why if you have a job and that is not allowing you to serve God, you can talk to God. God will reposition you from that job. Amen. It is only if you are satisfied with it. If you are satisfied, then God does not need to bother. But if it is really a concern for you, then say, God, I want to serve you. God will reposition you. You are in a position of, you know, ill health. Your health is being affected and you cannot serve God in that position. God will reposition you. All you need to tell, you talk God, make a commitment with Him, make a covenant and say, God, if you can fix this situation for me, I am promising you today that I will serve you with every breath that I have. God will reposition you out of that condition. And then those who see destruction in their environment instead of deliverance, they are a candidate for repositioning. Amen. You are surrounded, you know, by destruction. You are surrounded by destruction. You know, every, all around you, despair. God is able to reposition you out of that situation. And then those who see death in the environment instead of life. The Bible says that Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. And so if all you keep seeing around you, you know, is death instead of life, God is able to reposition you. He can transform your valley of dry bones, amen, into a great army. He can transform, you know, that situation, you know, that is decaying in your life. He's able to transform it into something that is productive. And then those who encounter constant failure in their environment instead of success and progress, they are a prime candidate for repositioning. Abraham was not, you know, he was not a reflection of progress in a situation. He was 75 years old. He was still living in daddy's house. Amen. And he was married. And it was then that God called him. He said, and so God repositioned him. He took him out of that, you know, environment of failure. And he brought him into an environment of success and progress. And that's why by the time you get to Genesis chapter 13, you read that the same Abraham was now, you know, in possession of silver, of gold and livestock. He had become rich because God repositioned him. And then those who are not happy where they are a candidate for repositioning. And oftentimes you are not happy where you are because where you are is far from where God wants you to be. Amen. And so if every time you are in you are out of alignment with the agenda of God, you are a candidate, you know, for repositioning. And God is going to bridge that gap today in the name of Jesus. Every gap in your destiny, God will bridge it in the mighty name of Jesus. And then what are the areas of repositioning that we can expect from God? One, you can expect, you know, your marital destiny to be repositioned. Your marital destiny can be repositioned. There are marriages that are chaotic. They're going through a lot of storms. And if things continue along that line, that marriage is headed for a wrong destiny. But when God repositions that marriage, that marital destiny, suddenly the marriage goes from being chaotic to being peaceful. Amen. The bliss that they have been looking for suddenly comes upon them. And by the mandate of heaven, I am lifting up every home under the umbrella of this church. I come against every power that has been sucking out peace of the homes under the umbrella of this church, I come against you today. I render you impotent. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name that is above every other name, I retrieve your marriage from the altar of satanic destruction. And I remove your home from every record of broken homes. In the name of Jesus. I prophesy into your life for everyone that is under the sound of my voice. You will not be candidates of broken homes. In the name of Jesus. So your marital destiny can be repositioned. You can also be repositioned financially and materially. We saw Abraham was repositioned, financially and materially. And you find that no matter how difficult the economy is, no matter how harsh, if there's a recession, no matter how harsh it is, the Lord God of Abraham is able to squeeze out your own breakthrough. And that is why, we'll talk about it later, you have to watch your language. Don't join anybody to run down, the place where you are. Don't join anybody to curse the ground that you are walking upon. Even if that ground is not better benefiting other people, it will benefit you. Amen. Others may have gone ahead of you and failed, but when you go, when it is your turn, you will succeed. And so God is able to squeeze out your own breakthrough, because by strength shall no man prevail. Solomon, he said in the book of Exodus, he said the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Say, but time and chance happen to all. Time and chance happen to all. When God makes it, has deemed that it as your time, you are going to make it. You are going to succeed. So God is able to squeeze out your own breakthrough, regardless of what is going on. Amen. And that's why, have you ever wondered why at the time you, when you go and check it from time immemorial, in the worst recession, people are doing good things. People are buying homes, they are buying cars, they are building homes, they are starting companies, they are starting business, they are doing everything, even in the worst recession. Amen? So which means that it does not matter what is going on, God is able to take care of you. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12, Deuteronomy 32 verse 13, God said that, he said he is able to make honey to come out of the rock for you. He's able to make oil come out of the rock. The one that can make oil come, that can squeeze oil and honey out of the rock, it can squeeze out your breakthrough. Amen. It can bring out your breakthrough out of whatever condition. It will make a blessing for you out of whatever mess, the environment is in. But you find that to experience repositioning financially and materially, you must be a co-laborer with him. That means you must ignite the favor of God in your life by furthering the kingdom of God through your giving. Amen? Because God only entrusts kingdom resources to people who are faithful stewards of the resources. And the only way you are going to break the backbone of poverty or lack in your life is by sacrificially giving to the things of God. You can also be repositioned academically. I love this. You see, because you may find yourself struggling in your academic pursuit, God is able to transform the situation. All of a sudden, your brain will just, your brain that was leaking before will begin to retain. Amen? It begin to retain. You begin to come up with great ideas. And all of a sudden, you that were always getting the, bottom grades, you begin to score, A's, high grades. And that is why somebody needs to pray. You need to pray that prayer, that Father, upgrade my brain. Upgrade my grade. My brain, upgrade my mind by the power of the blood of Jesus. so that you can begin, you know, so that you can be repositioned academically. And I see that repositioning for someone here in the name of Jesus. The spirit of excellence will rest upon you. You will excel 10 times above your nearest competitor in the mighty name of Jesus. In your career, you can also be repositioned. You can be repositioned in your career. You see, every organization is looking for problem solvers. Every organization is looking for people that have answers. And when God decides to reposition you in your career, it will make you a problem solver. It will make you the man or the woman with the solution. Amen? They will have one problem and they say they will call you and you will solve it like that. There's a story, you know, I read about somebody that invented a particular engine for Ford. And when they were doing the trial, something happened with it. And so Ford now called all their in-house engineers. They tried to fix it. They couldn't fix it. Nobody could fix the problem. So the inventor, they had to go call the man, the one that designed the system. And so when he came, he just fixed it in, you know, under 10 minutes. And then he gave them a bill for $10,000. And so Ford said, how can you give him for 10 minutes? He said, that's too much, you know. And so he changed it. He ripped the invoice. He wrote another one. He said, you know, he said, for the time, you know, I charge you one penny. He said, but for the brain, I charge you $9,999. And he had no choice. He said he had to pay because before he was saying, oh, just for 10 minutes. Because what he had, nobody had it to fix that problem. God will make you problem solvers in the name of Jesus. God will make you solution givers. Solution, you will be a source of solution. You will be a source of solution in the name of Jesus. I know it is often said that no man is indispensable, but you will be near to indispensable on your job as God equips you, you know, with that problem solving power in the name of Jesus. Your ministry can also be repositioned. In your ministry, you can be repositioned. You can find Elijah experienced repositioning. At a point, he thought, you know, his ministry was over. And he said to God, God, take my life. I'm not better than my father's. But it was that point that God repositioned him. Amen. God repositioned him. He took him from under that broom tree. He took him to Mount Horeb and he gave him a new commissioning upon Mount Horeb. It was after that he now went and anointed, you know, three different people. And one of them was Elisha, the one that took over from him. Your ministry can be repositioned. And I see God repositioning you in your ministry. In your ministry, you will have impact. In the name of Jesus, in your ministry, God will begin to use you to do great and mighty things. You will be the extension of his mouth, his extension of his hands, his extension of his legs, in the name of Jesus. You can be repositioned in your health also, as we've alluded to earlier. Naaman had experienced a divine repositioning in his health. He had tried all kinds of things. You know that if money could fix Naaman's problem, he would have fixed it. If fame could fix his problem, he would have fixed this because he had fame. If military, you know, success victories could fix his problem, he would have fixed it. But he had a problem that defied all kinds of solutions. And so he was a candidate for repositioning. And God gave him a repositioning in his health. The Bible says as he came out of that water, he was fully cleansed of his leprosy and his skin was like a newborn baby's skin. And I see God repositioning you in your health in the name of Jesus. By the power in the name of Jesus, God will work wonders in your body. Your body will not fail. Your body will not break down. In the mighty name of Jesus, God will renew that body of yours in the name of Jesus. And then your destiny as a whole can be repositioned. He can be repositioned from bondage to freedom. The destiny of the children of Israel was repositioned. There was a time they were held, you know, in captivity in Egypt. And it came a time that God repositioned them. You can be repositioned from weakness to strength. You can be repositioned from tail to head. And I like us to dig a little bit deeper into repositioning from tail to head, because that's very important. You see, because you find in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 13, Deuteronomy 28 verse 13, God said, I will make you the head and not the tail. And he said, you shall be above and not be beneath. And you know that God does not waste words. When God says something, that means it has relevance. It's not a talkative. So when God said, you know, there's above and beneath, there's head and tail, that means those regions exist. That means those conditions exist. And that means, in fact, that there are some people that are occupying the regions. There are some people that are occupying, you know, the tail region, and there are some people that are occupying the head region. And tail symbolizes the backside. It is the lowest part of anything. That's the tail. And when you find that things always run out, when it is about your own turn, it may be an indication of the spirit of the tail. Everybody is getting it. And just when is your turn? After waiting for 2 hours. They said, we're sorry. You have to come back again. When do you reckon I can come back again? They said, we don't know. Just give us a call. It may be the spirit of the tail working. If you find yourself always in the wrong setting, always in the wrong setting, you may be a victim of the spirit of the tail. And we must understand that when a person has been confined to the tail spiritually, that is what will characterize all aspects of their life. So when somebody is confined to the tail spiritually, financially, they will be tail. When they're confined to the tail spiritually, if any endeavor that they do, they operate, they run, they will be the tail there, because the spirit of the tail is what is ruling over that situation. And that is why you can enrich a man who is, you know, being oppressed by the spirit of the tail. He will surely return to poverty. I believe that quite a number of the professional sports people that we have, all those people that, you know, some of those people in NBA and, you know, NFL and all that, that make big bucks, you know, and return to poverty, it's because of the spirit of the tail. They never dealt with it. And so they come into hundreds of millions of dollars. Amen? And then they are broke. They don't have any money at all again. I mean, you and I, most of us will talk about it. Say, even if we get 1 million, I know that that's it. You know, I'm fixed for life. But you have people that come into hundreds of millions, and they still become broke because of the spirit of the tail. When you elevate the man who he's been oppressed by the spirit of the tail, you find that he will be disgraced eventually. Even when you place him high, he will come down. He will come down. And so it does not matter which opportunities are offered to the person that is, you know, beleaguered by the spirit of the tail. It does not matter the people that they know in high places. He will always remain at the tail. But as a child of God, God has planted something inside of you to make you a candidate, you know, for a head and not a tail. That's why he said, you will be a head and not a tail. He said, you will always be on top, never beneath. But some never discover the seed of headship, the seed of greatness that God has planted in you. Some never discover it. Some never discover their Moses. They never discover their David. And until you discover your David, Goliath will be tormenting you day and night. He will be messing you around like, you know, like a door. And some have even been sent on diversion. They have been taken away because the enemy successfully took them away from the course of their life that they should be pursuing. They have now, when they left the course that they should be pursuing, they have now been relegated, you know, to the tail because of that. And some have even sold their Moses off. Esau sold his birthright for morsel of bread. He said, what will this thing benefit me? Let me eat now. Let's have fun. And so if you suspect that you are occupying the tail region, you must cry to the Lord today to deliver you from every spiritual cage of the tail. And by the special grace of God, I see a repositioning taking place today. I see a reposition. Every spirit of tear, I curse you from the root in the name of Jesus. The spirit of tear will not plague any of you any longer in the mighty name of Jesus. But there are certain keys to divine repositioning, some things that we must be aware of. Number one is that you must pay steady attention to the direction of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, the prophet said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. He said, I will wait and watch what he's going to speak to me. So you must pay a steady attention to the direction of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, Abraham had to have been in tune for him to have heard God, you know, speak to him. Amen? And then you must obey the direction of the Holy Spirit. Abraham heard what God said, but he did not leave it at just hearing. He now put it into action immediately. And you must obey the direction of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21. Isaiah 30:21. He said, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. God will give you that, and then you must follow. Amen. You must follow. It is according to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It is when you are in obedience to the word, that is when you are going to have good success. That's where you are going to make progress. And then you must not grieve the Holy Spirit. This is obviously a point that, I mean, it should be an obvious point. Because the Holy Spirit is the, you know, medium of communication. So if you grieve that Holy Spirit, you will not be able to have the communication, you know, with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. And then you must guard against sin. Because a repositioned believer who chooses to commit sin in his new position may find the blessings of the repositioning eroded. God forbid. And then you must pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray until something happens. Tell God that you are satisfied in your condition if you are not satisfied. It is when you become restless, you become dissatisfied. That is when God, you know, is required to do something about it. Amen? Pray without ceasing. We've always said it. If you go to the emergency room, the one who is crying, the one who's, you know, making the loudest noise is the one that will get the attention. The squeaky wheel, how did they say it? It's the one that gets the grease. So it's the one that is making noise. If you have a tiny scratch on your head and you are crying in the emergency room and a woman is about to put to bed, she's in labor and she's taking it easy, they will go to the one with the scratch on his head first. Because he's giving them the impression he's about to die. And so you must pray without ceasing. He said, you constantly say, God, something needs to change. I need a reposition. I need God. You know, Isaac is said to, he said, the day that you become restless is the day that you will break his yoke of your neck. And you recall the story of Peter in Acts chapter 12. The church was praying for him without ceasing. They were making fervent prayer unto him. And because of that, God repositioned him. God set him free. He moved him from that prison and he got his freedom. And then you must not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious. The Bible says that in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Because when you are anxious or when you worry, what you are doing in effect is that you are bringing disgrace to God. I've always said it. I said, imagine if your child, maybe 4-year-old, just comes to the parent and say, yeah, are you sure, daddy, that you can pay my school fees? And it's serious. And you say, I don't know what I can pay. And then your brother or your sister comes visiting and he goes to his uncle and says, please help. My dad cannot pay my fees. And you will feel disgrace because you look at it and you say, how can this 4-year-old be doubting my ability to pay his fees? And that's the same way with God. When we begin to worry, we are saying, God, you cannot fix, you can't handle my situation. You cannot take care of it. That's what we're saying to him. Amen? And so we must not be anxious, you know, about anything. And Jesus spent a lot of time in the book of Matthew chapter 6 explaining why we should never worry. You're crying every day because things are not going well, will not change your situation. It's not going to move God one bit. When David and his men came back to Ziklag and the Amalekites had devastated, you know, their camp, the Bible says that everybody cried. They wept until they could weep no more. Nothing happened. No change. And then they got together and said, weeping has not fixed the problem. We need to find a scapegoat. It is our leader. It is this leader. This one that helped us when we were in debt, when we were in distress, when we were discontented. This one is the one that we should stone him to death. It was then that David recognized that there was something wrong. And then what did he now? Encourage himself. He focused on, he dried up his tears and then God gave him direction. Worry leads to negative repositioning. Worry is like a grave digger. He digs it slowly, slowly, slowly. Because if worry is not curtailed, it leads to depression. Amen? And it kills. And so you must bind and cast out the spirit of anxiety to experience divine position. And then lastly, you must change your language. You see, the Bible tells us the vocabulary of God. It is different from the vocabulary of man. When God speaks with authority. God said, Abraham, leave where you are going. He said, I am going to make you a great nation. He said, I will bless you. He said, I will bless whoever blesses you. I will curse whoever curses you. God speaks with authority. Finite. He was not saying, Abraham, go, we'll see what happens. You know, maybe if the sun comes up tomorrow, things might work out. Or if my, you know, crops do well, you know, something might, we might be able to do something. No, God speaks. He speaks like that. He speaks with, because he has absolute authority. Meanwhile, the vocabulary of the devil is filled with lies. He's always filled with deception, discouragement, destruction. Satan will come and say, oh, did he say? Have you heard? Amen. Have you heard? You know, like, you know what they used to call them back in the day, Biboru. Have you heard? Did you, you know, always deception. And the vocabulary of the natural man is also filled with fear. It's filled with hopelessness. It's filled with unbelief. It's filled with impossibility. Ah, he said, you cannot make it. You can't do it. No, it cannot happen. That is not how they do it. Filled with impossibility. They say, oh no, no. Yeah, wasting your time. I know people who have done it. They did not make it. I did it. In fact, I did it myself. I didn't make it. That's the language of the natural man. They told Jesus in Mark chapter 5. They said, you know, he was going to Jairus, you know, house to heal his daughter. And they said, the daughter is already dead. Stop bothering the man. Leave him. Jesus continued. Anyway, he came into the house. The same people that were mourning, that were crying. Hey! Ha! Jesus said, why? What is all this commotion for? The girl is only sleeping. These religious people, they have come again. Rabbi. Why are you saying it in presence of this man? At least let him mourn. And he said, why are you? And you saw the result. Because that's the natural man. Amen. And the language of the spirit-filled believer must be that of faith, must be of power, must be of love. It's supposed to be, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will make it because God is backing me up. If God, as long as my God lives, I will make it. As long as he lives, my story will not end like this. There's a glory that is coming out of this story. That is the language of the spirit-filled man. And that should be your language. You must change your vocabulary to experience a repositioning. Yes, things may be going wrong. It may not be working great right now, but I see the light at the tunnel. I see the glory. There's a glory ahead. There's a story. There's a testimony that is ahead of me. Amen? And that should be our language. And then you must serve the Lord in your reposition place. Let the word of God be your filter in everything that you do. So when you look, assess your situation before you say anything, see whatever the God, what the God, word of God says about it. And then superimpose the word of God over that situation. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who art thou? Mountain before Zerubbabel. Who are you? Who are you? We'll see. And I'll go into the bathroom. I spend some 5 minutes. Fire will fall. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet because we're going to pray. Just glorify, bless the name of the Lord. Give him glory. Give him praise. Give him praise. I don't see any new person here, so I believe that everyone is saved. If I'm mistaken, lift up your hands where you are so that we can pray our faith, because we are going to pray quickly. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Thank you, faithful God. We magnify you, Lord. We bless your holy name. We lift you high. You are going to cry unto the Lord today. You are going to say, my Father, if I am in the wrong position, reposition me now in the name of Jesus. In any area of my life, financially, materially, physically, spiritually, Lord God Almighty, reposition me. Reposition me. Oh yes, in any area of the Lord that I'm in the wrong position. In my life, my Father, my God, reposition me. Reposition me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You're going to pray also. Remember I said one of the candidates for repositioning is the people who are not happy where they are. And one reason you are not happy where you are is when there is a gap between God's plan and where you are. So you are going to cry unto God. You say, Lord, oh Lord, align me to your divine agenda and plug me into your divine calendar. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and begin to pray. Father, align me with your divine agenda. Plug me, connect me into your divine calendar. In the name of Jesus, let me be aligned. Let me be connected to your divine agenda. Plug me, oh God. into your divine calendar. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. You are going to pray. We talked about evil repositioning that happens by listening to satanic counsel. And we know that it is always negative, because the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So we're going to cry, we're going to pray to the Lord and say, Father, let the will of satanic agents for my life be dismantled in the name of Jesus. Every plan of satanic agents for my life, let it come to naught. Let it not stand. Let it not prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Rika Sanda Yaba. Yebobo. Every satanic wheel of satanic agents for my marriage, for my ministry, for my finances. My Father, my God, I pray that you would dismantle it today. Dismantle it. Put them to shame. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. We talk about the spirit of the tail. You are going to pray. You are going to pray with violence, with holy aggression. Because any spirit that wants to relegate you to the tail is not your friend. We are going to pray with holy aggression right now. That every cage of the spirit of the tail working in my life, break in the name of Jesus. Begin to break right now. Every cage of the spirit of the tail holding my blessing, holding my progress, holding my prosperity today by fire. Break. Break. Break into pieces. My yenereka saiba. Rabos. Rabos. Redekekeke. Every cage of the spirit of the tail. Ramakataya daga. Yembroko sotoroba. Break. Begin to break right now. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus. Mighty name, we are praying. You are going to pray. You are going to pray again against every enemy of your increase. Every enemy of my increase, scatter by fire. In the name of Jesus, begin to scatter every enemy of my increase. Every enemy of my progress, begin to scatter right now by fire. Scatter by fire. In the name of Jesus, waliras, labos keterebobos, every enemy of my increase begin to scatter right now. What are you waiting for? Your time is up. Mejegegeriga, yenroboboko, scatter by fire. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. You are going to pray, you are going to pray again. We said anxiety and worry, they lead to other things. You are going to pray every evil power that anxiety has introduced into my life. Come out right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, begin to come out. Begin to come out. Every evil power. Power of depression. Power of despondency. That anxiety has introduced into my life. Today, I sever your hold over my life. In the name of Jesus, I am not your candidate. I am not your candidate. In the name of Jesus, every evil power that anxiety has introduced into my life, come out right now. Come out right now. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. We say God can reposition you financially and materially. When you read the book of Genesis, where he talks about the Garden of Eden, he said four streams flowed into the garden. Amen. And one of them was, you know, they brought precious metals, gems and everything. So that was the place was so rich. You are going to call on God today and say, my Father, let multiple rivers of income and cash flow Locate my life in the name of Jesus. Multiple streams of income and cash flow. Locate my life. Locate my life right now. Right now, as you reposition me, oh, financially and materially, my Father, my God, I pray that you will cause multiple streams of income and cash flow to begin to look at me in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. You are going to call for the power that moved Moses and the children of Israel forward in the Red Sea. Move me forward by fire in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and begin to ask for that power. The power that moved Moses forward, that moved the children of Israel forward through the Red Sea. Begin to move me forward. Move me forward by fire in this land. In this land. In the name of Jesus. Begin to move me forward. Begin to move me forward. Power that moved Moses forward. Power that moved the children of Israel forward. Move me forward. Move me forward against every obstacle, against every hindrance. In the name of Jesus. Maraso torosia. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Finally, you are going to call for power to move, for repositioning to overshadow you right now. The angel said to Mary, he said, when Mary asked, how can this thing be? He said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And this thing which has been spoken of shall come into manifestation. And so you are going to ask for the power for repositioning to overshadow you in different areas. So you are going to call for the power for greatness, power for increase, power for wealth, power for success, power for progress, power to be problem solver, power to be ideas, resourceful in ideas. The power for repositioning, come upon me, come upon me. Look at me right now. Go ahead and begin to pray. Begin to ask for it in any area that you know that you need the power for repositioning. Go ahead and ask for it in the name of Jesus. Overshadow my marriage, overshadow my home, power for repositioning. Overshadow my career, overshadow my ministry today. Power for greatness, power for greatness, power to be head, power to be above. Overshadow me, overshadow me. Look at me by fire, look at me by fire. In the name of Jesus, power for success, come upon my life right now. Come upon my life right now. Ah, rahis katorobobo yendereba. Power, oh, for increase, power for vision, power to make me a problem solver. Ah, makoni katayaba. Power to be a solution giver. Power to be an ideas person, a resourceful person. Look at me right now. Look at me right now. Look at me right now. That I might experience repositioning in different areas of my life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. And so, Father, we thank you. Thank you because you have spoken. Thank you because you that have spoken, you are able to bring into fulfillment your word. My Father, my God, I pray that you will watch over your word and to perform it in the name of Jesus. Today, oh God, I call for the power to align everyone under the sound of my voice with your divine agenda. Father, let that power look at them in the mighty name of Jesus. Almighty God, whatever is out of place, whatever is out of place in their lives, in their careers, in their ministries, in their marriages, in their homes, in their finances, today I subject to obedience to the power of repositioning. And I call for a repositioning in that area. a comfort, a repositioning in that health area. Let your health receive a repositioning. Every health that has been failing, every health that has been struggling, every health that has been kept, surviving by pills, by medication, today receive a repositioning. Receive a reposition. Receive a reposition. I speak life into every dry bone. Every dry bone in your body. Receive life today. Receive life today. I speak of repositioning into your finances. In the mighty name of Jesus. In any way that you have been lacking. In any way that you might have been lagging behind. Today, receive a repositioning. God is catapulting you to the top. In the name of Jesus. The power for greatness has located you. The power for increase has located you. The power for progress has located you. The power for success has located you. In the name of Jesus. As you go forward in this year, you will leap forward. You will leap forward. You will go in leaps and bounds. In the mighty name of Jesus, no longer with the spirit of terror, operate in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are ahead. You are ahead. You shall be above. You will not be beneath. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare it today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God saying,